You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, global innovator Matt Hart, how are you today?
Kia ora, team. Kia ora, Joel. Yeah, really good. How, and you?
Good.
Well,
good.
Recovered from the weekend, Evie. Yep. Nice to see you.
Kia ora, Matt. It's nice to see you too.
Nice to see you on the tools, actually.
Yep. Yeah. Swapping seats for the moment.
I'm pressing the buttons today. People can't see that, but...
Looking good.
Look, they appreciate it because you're doing everything great. So we love that. Now, we're talking about fandoms today, Matt.
Yeah, I thought we could pick up on a couple of weekends ago, you guys mentioned the Laneway Festival.
We did, yes.
And I said, look, a lot of my thing that I do with clients and whatnot and artists, etc., is fandom, and I said it's a really interesting domain that's out there in the world that is a change from how it used to be. But also I think of our audience thinking about they're at university, they're thinking of startup hustling, maybe they're artists, maybe they're doing their own thing. This idea of micro fandoms and niche communities has become such a part of everyday, which is very different. So why don't we start back with that Laneway chat, and
Absolutely.
You mentioned that actually there were two headliners going on at the same time.
Yes,
and almost
was.
Everyone gravitated to one headliner and, and the other one was left on their own, as I heard it. But why don't we clarify there? Start there.
So we had Charlie XCX, which is probably what I would say like a good 80 to 90% of people during that later end of Laneway went to see.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, obviously she's blown up like in the brat summer over the past year or so. I mean, she's been big for like a long time, but... this her album Brat was huge.
Huge.
And it had like certain... like a color palette and like a style associated with it. And then the other one was, I'm forgetting the name.
It was a rapper.
This
just proves our point.
No, it wasn't a rapper.
It wasn't.
It was a DJ.
Let me look this up. This
but I was asking
was
you.
Was it Bicep?
I think it was Bicep.
It was Bicep.
I was a DJ,
it was
right.
Bicep, yeah.
So you imagine being Bicep, the artist, and they scheduled you at the same time as someone as Charlie XCX, and you're about to do your gig, and you're thinking my fans are going to come along, but the bias of the audience there are there for the Brat Summer, right?
Yeah,
they're there
yeah.
to see Charlie. They all head over there and you're doing your thing and there's hardly anyone there.
Yeah.
That would be hard, right?
It would be very hard. I don't know if they have different lineups, not lineups, sorry, different like set times for each show, because obviously there's like four or five shows in Australia. So I don't know if it's the same there, but I think it is.
Yeah. I think it's all the same,
Yeah, which is really unfortunate.
It is really unfortunate. And I guess Charlie XCX is a mixture of micro fandoms, because I was asking you guys, was everyone there in green and rolling up doing the Brat thing?
Yeah. There was a lot of green,
a
lot of Brat. But I also think a lot of people were dressed according to like what artists they were keen to see the most.
Exactly.
Like Bieber-Doo being Clairo, for example. They were also very prominent headliners as well. They have also got this certain image associated with them as well. But yeah, lots of bright lime green, which has only recently come into popularity, I feel. Not really popular before.
It's a Pantone color that's actually copyrighted as well, obviously, on the Brat. But I thought what was really interesting about that, just hearing you guys riff on it, is that we now are in a world of what we call micro fandoms. Whereas if you were an artist, or even you can apply it to brand land and everything, back in the day there were so few channels that it was almost like the ideas that got out there in the world were what everyone sort of was aware of, and we became the sort of, that was the cultural glue that bound us together. And now you see we're in this world where it's about micro fandoms where never the twain shall meet. Okay, a bit different at someone like Laneway, but with a headliner like Charlie XCX, you can see that fandom in operation as people are going there and drawn to be there. But in what it means for a cultural connection, what it means for my own fandom propensities and what I get into, and then how well I know what else is going on. I think with this dispersion and atomization of the way we're living and the messages we're now aware of, we're getting drawn into ever and ever thinner domains of interest that we live as lifestyles that end up as micro fandoms, and so we don't have that big cultural connection like we may have.
Yeah, I guess so. I think we definitely have changed a lot over the past like few years or so. Not even a few years, probably longer than that. I do still think like we do have that sort of major cultural connection, and I do think it's interesting seeing how these micro fandoms have split into such niches.
Yeah,
I think it gives more people flexibility in terms of like how they want themselves to be perceived as well. And I think it's a pretty interesting thing and a pretty cool thing.
I think it's both, right? I think the idea of you now being able to go online and find your tribe.
Yeah,
you know, people can really let their freak flag fly these days, right?
Because
you can find your mates online. They don't have to be around you, which is really good for maybe isolated individuals. You know, who don't find a big community around what they're into. You can go online, Discord, Substacks, etc., and you can find your thing.
Yeah. I also, sorry, not to interrupt you, but I also think a lot of fandoms sort of intercept depending on the demographic of the person. Like a lot of like queer culture likes Clairo, Bieber Doobie and Charlie XCX. So despite these being three very different artists, there's still a lot of people that are enjoying all of them at the same time, mm-hmm. even if it's very different genres of music and very different fashion senses and vibes of music and all sorts
of stuff.
That's
exactly the point that I wanted to come to, because Laneway and things like that that actually bring those different tribes together and see that there is crossover between them becomes so important as experiences of your fandom, so that you don't just stay in this, what can become a hellhole of just deep online content, that we actually lift ourselves out of our deep fandoms and actually have opportunities to connect with other people, be it music, be it art, be it sport, be it whatever it happens to be.
Like the
other book festival they have here, the Readers and Writers. Events and experiences like these where you can get along and have opportunities to know that there are broader interests out there.
Yeah, and right? I think the overall fan of Laneway is obviously listening to live music, you know, and there's a variety of different genres on display, but overall, people who are spending, like, the amount of money to go to Laneway, they're going to get a good experience because there's such a diverse range of performers and people and all sorts of stuff, really.
Yeah, so. And I'm, you know, yes, 100% agree with that, but I am curious about how the algorithms that we engage with in every day are picking up. You know, TikTok is such a sophisticated, fast algorithm. It is noticing every interaction, your delay time, your hang time, your whatever it is, and instantly serving you deeper content. So it's, you know, one of my fights in the domain of creativity and innovation is to keep that broader cultural stimulus and inspiration alive for teams, for brands, for artists, etc., so that we get a feel of the total wallpaper that surrounds us versus what these algorithms are trying to do is just find that thin, deep layer and drag you down and hold you in the experience as long as they can.
Interesting. Yeah. Because I definitely noticed I got a lot of Bieber Doobie content specifically after Laneway, because I wasn't really able to see her as much just because my group were going here and there, but she's one of my favorite artists. And I definitely noticed, like, I got a lot of her content about her most recent album that she released last year, other TikToks from Laneway. And then as time progressed, obviously, they had the shows overseas in, like, Brisbane and stuff, so I started getting those as well. I mean, she did a collaboration with... Was it with Clairo at the most... The last
with
one?
Clairo, yeah. They did a song together.
They did. They have this very iconic song called Glue Song, which is very romantic, very beautiful, that she didn't perform at Auckland.
Oh, really?
It was only at Melbourne. Yeah. Was that the Melbourne one?
It was at Melbourne.
Yeah.
And Charlie and Clairo did a song at Melbourne too.
It's like, come
Melbourne
on.
Got everything that we didn't.
Exactly.
In Kamikimakoto,
exactly.
But that's okay.
It's fine. It's all right. We will survive.
Well, what's really interesting in that specific example is if you're an artist, imagine trying out and being an artist today and you're trying to engage, putting your stuff out online, etc. One of the easiest ways you can do is co-opt other people's fandoms. And so that's what you'll find a lot of artists are now doing. Spotify started to innovate a lot of that about putting bringing artists together and trading on their playlists or putting them on their fandoms to actually swap fandoms and start to grow
your
audience.
Yeah, like you notice that with like if you have like an artist, you have like they have like automatic playlists depending on if you like one artist, it'll give you a playlist of that artist plus like a sprinkling of other artists with songs that are quite similar, which I quite like. It's
totally
quite nice.
And then you'll find the big major artists, you know, and there's not many of them in those massive global mainstream artists, the Coldplays, the Taylors, etc. They'll do multiple versions of their big hits with emerging artists to actually sprinkle those, one, trying to reach their fandom as broad as it can, and then two, igniting these other niche-er interests by doing these collaborations and remixes of other people.
I mean, Charlie XCX did the thing with the remix version of Brat, where she collaborated with a bunch of prominent artists that definitely would be in the realm of Charlie fans, like the 1975, Ariana Grande was on it, blanking on anyone else, but there were lots of people on it.
Yeah.
So, all right. I think we're going to wrap this up pretty soon.
Okay,
we have a couple minutes, but is there anything else you want to say finally? Or
I would just say to I'm working with a couple of young artists in New Zealand, and it's the old school thing. You've got to get out there, do your time, get on the road, but then actually embrace this thing we call global super fandom. That if you can find your early fans online, they don't have to be geographically just here, right?
Yeah.
They are now everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
That's a great thing about the internet. Exactly. There's now a platform not only in just like the domestic market, but like overseas as well.
Exactly right.
Right. Thank you, Matt, for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Have a lovely rest of your day.
You too.
We'll see you next week.
Team.
See you later.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.